Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to listen to more of America This Week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. Now back to America This Week, live with Father Matt Malone and Carrie Weber.
We are back at America This Week. This is Tim Reedy sitting in for Carrie Weber. And we are joined today by Professor Holly Taylor Kuhlman, who is talking about her article, Tied Together by Love, Adoption in the Christian Life, from the April 15th issue of America. And Professor Kuhlman, we're going to go back to you right now. And of course, encourage people, if they want to call 1-888-3-CATHOLIC. It's 1-888-322-8465. Professor Kuhlman, we started talking just before the break about open adoption, and you have a story at the beginning of your essay, which I think captures well the kind of vulnerability that comes with that, but also the graces that come with that. I wonder if you could share that story.
Sure. It's a remarkable story in some ways, and I have to admit, even as I retell it and hear it, it's a little bit astonishing to me. it happened to be the case in the events of the adoption of one of our three children, that actually our child's birth mother took the initiative to organize a kind of a blessing ceremony to occur at her church on Sunday morning. If I could just say briefly, she has a little bit of a great story there of being a part of a Christian congregation that really welcomed her and supported her in the
That is great.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Of dealing with an unexpected pregnancy and making a not always easy plan of what she would do next. So we arrived at that moment with a group of people that we've never gathered that same group of people in exactly that way again, but it was really the most important members, both of her family, of our child's birth father and his family, and of our own families. My mother was there and my in-laws were there. And what happened was, of course, it was a morning of high emotion. In many ways was a wonderful moment of us really feeling welcomed. We were offered a blessing on the pending adoption of our son. But one of the remarkable things that I note in the essay was my own mother's experience in being present there, which was that she just had a funny feeling of deja vu that she couldn't shake. And I'm sure she was trying to sort out her own feelings as well, and she just kind of put it to one side. And it wasn't until later that she started to do a little bit of investigation that she understood what that was about. She knew that her own mother had grown up in the city in which we were gathered. It was not the city in which I was living, nor the city she was living. It was where my son's birth mother was living at that time. But what she was able to do was to make a phone call to her mother, and after comparing notes and putting together details, she realized that the church that we were sitting in, although it had undergone a number of changes in the intervening years, was actually the very church in which my grandmother had grown up. It was the very church in which she and my grandfather had been married many years before, and my mother certainly had been in the space as a small child, just two or three times, but enough so that it triggered those memories in the back of her mind. What I see in the essay is that I could actually tell two or three other of these sort of remarkable coincidence stories in our experiences of adoption. But what I propose is that we think about these experiences not so much as a way to smooth over any difficulties, not so much as a way to say this was all just absolutely meant to be and nothing more needs to be said. But what it did do for me at that moment, which was important for me too, as it was for others that morning, was to give me a sense that I was not just alone. Even my husband and I were not just alone as we tried to figure out our way forward in an unexpected script for our life. But really, for me, if I could say it directly, I would say it made us feel that that God was present there, and that we were being written into a story that was bigger than we were, and bigger than any of us gathered there that morning, and gave us a sense of hope as we moved into the next phases.
Well, that's a beautiful story. Thanks for sharing that. And we do have one caller on the line who would, Paul from Tennessee, has a question for Professor Kuhlman. Paul, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you so much for taking my call. It's a great show, guys.
Thank you.
God bless you both. I was calling to ask, did you and your husband both have the same, did your desire to pursue the adoption option, was it on a similar parallel path? And the reason I ask is this. We have been blessed, God bless us, with two healthy, great boys. They're both off at college now, and I was thinking about how good it would be for in our journey to perhaps start investigating this. And just, I highly doubt my wife. I love her, but she's probably not listening. But is there anything you can recommend to kind of gently start stirring that as meager as we are in many aspects of our life, we both, you know, dearly love our children. And I think of what we're able to do at this stage of life, it would be open up our home to more. It's through adoption, and I don't think we're going to have any more of our own. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious if one spouse is kind of really interested and earnest about pursuing that as a possibility, could you recommend any resources or tell me a little bit about your journey? And, you know, I don't know if it's applicable because y'all both seem eager to have your children and, you know, you work with what the situation was in y'all's marriage, but could you help me along those lines to maybe help open up, in my situation, be the wife side,
okay,
to being open to that gift if it ever ends up happening. I know I can ramble on forever. But
all right, Paul. Well, thank you very much for the call. Thanks for the honest question. Professor?
Well, Paul, I don't know what you're talking about because my husband and I are just always on the same page at every moment. I think that situation is almost more common than not for parents who turn their thoughts to adoption. And it is an interesting and difficult discernment. That's a big commitment. I don't usually offer people just unnuanced advice that they should adopt as many children as they can, as quickly as they can. It's a big, big step. I think in some ways, this is a question that goes beyond adoption, because I think in some ways we're turned back to our best understanding and our best practices around discernment as a couple. I will say this in specific reference to adoption. What really helped both of us and each of us as we moved forward in this was hearing individual stories, hearing the stories of families, including their honest reflections. It just allowed us to begin to see ourselves. I mentioned the idea of a script before. It allowed us to begin to imagine ourselves taking steps that were not a part of the families that we grew up in, and that we certainly hadn't experienced ourselves before. And, you know, maybe in a way, my advice sort of connects to some of the most central themes that I mention in this this essay on adoption. It was even in those early moments that we began to feel powerfully this need for community, this need to be able to express our own vulnerability, to lean on other people, to learn from them. And for me, it's part of my motivation now in talking publicly about something that is obviously a personal matter for our family, but I just really feel motivated to kind of come full circle with that and share what I can insofar as it's of value to other people.
That's actually something that I wanted to ask you, was whether, you know, you're being here today and talking to us and having this article in America and talking about this experience elsewhere is part of, you know, part of your recognition of how important it is for people to hear these stories and to allow them to inspire them or to draw them in.
It really is. I actually have a deep conviction that even in family life more broadly, what we all are certainly in the context of the U.S., what we're all hungry for right now is an increased sense of solidarity, a sense that we're not just working out these interesting issues in our own living rooms, in our own kitchens, but that we can come alongside each other and talk and act together. And I just am convinced that there are some particular issues in relationship to adoption where you see a real benefit in that direction.
Sure. Well, you're listening to America This Week on Sirius XM 129, the Catholic channel. I'm Father Matt Malone, joined by Tim Reedy. We're talking with Holly Taylor Kuhlman about her article in the April 15th issue of America, where she discusses adoption. And I wonder, Professor, whether I don't really have any experience of this issue, and you know, I'm not obviously not a father and a husband, but I wonder whether you might have some advice for people who are part of in the congregation or people such as myself who don't have experience of these issues on what are the like do's and don'ts when you encounter a family in which there is adoption, things that are helpful to say and do and things that may not be.
Right. So I myself and probably others who are listening right now have come across a number of those please don't ever say this to adoptive families that now float around like a million other things do on social media and the internet. I think what I would urge is that it's difficult just to say quickly that people would educate themselves a little bit. Certainly there's a primary issue here about recognizing the full validity and dignity of adoptive families. I think it's difficult for people because there can be, frankly, just a knee-jerk tendency to see families that are formed by biological ties as being real in some sense. And although I think it's those biological ties are important and can be profoundly important for some people, we just have to start with that kind of insistence that families formed in this way are real families. Now, having said that, I have to say I'm going to say something that's maybe unexpected, which is I would encourage people to step out and insofar as they become aware of this issue, insofar as they want to offer support to families, and just know that you may make some mistakes as you talk with.
Sure.
We all do. And maybe even note that briefly to the folks with whom you're interacting. I think that's a kind of a way that the whole community can enter into these dynamics of vulnerability and support. And I think you will find overwhelmingly that adoptive families will be profoundly grateful for any willingness on the part of others in their community to do that. I know that for me, that was just incredibly valuable. Sometimes especially, actually, coming from people who had no experience themselves with adoption, who really just weren't sure what to say at all. But once they said that, well, then we could have all kinds of conversations.
Right. I think what you touch on there is something certainly I've experienced, and I think many adoptive parents, is that once you become an adoptive parent, you become immediately a kind of a teacher and somebody who gets a lot of questions on this. So I think it's one of the things we are called to is to kind of let people know what the process is like and be open about it and, you know, not react strongly if they say the wrong thing, but just allow those conversations to happen.
If I could just say one other word about that, too, I also have come to feel pretty strongly that this is a special responsibility for our communities of faith. There is a way in which adoptive families have some possibilities for educating others that we have to recognize. But I think, although it's not something that we always find, I really want to offer just a word of suggestion or maybe even challenge to those folks who find themselves very involved in parishes, in other communities of faith, especially those who find themselves in leadership in those settings, to think about what it means to move a whole community in the direction of being a sort of culture of adoption. And I think there's a lot to say there, but I think that's really the way that it works best, is to imagine in all of us, insofar as we can, you know, insofar as it makes sense in relationship to individual vocations, to think of the our communities of faith as being a place that places that are especially welcoming.
Well, Professor Kuhlman, we've got another caller on the line, Arlene from California. Are you with us? Do you have a question for Professor Kuhlman?
Hi. No, I don't have a question. I just wanted to say something. I am adopted, and my parents told me from the very beginning that I was adopted. I don't know if it's the best thing to do, but as far as saying, you know, I was extra special because they picked me out and the other parents had to take what they got. But, you know, I always knew. I mean, it was, and I know people who found out, oh, it's terrible if they find out in their teenage years, they just kind of, you know, go ballistic. I don't know what it is. I just want people not to try and hide it, because the adoptive person will always find out.
Well, that's fair enough.
Point.
Well, thank you very much, Arlene, for the call. You know, and what do you think?
Yeah, well, I'm sure Professor Kuhlman will weigh in here, but basically that is by far and away the agreement of the community, the adoption community on this question, is that you should, you know, tell your children in appropriate ways, you know, make it part of a story, but absolutely don't keep it a secret. But Professor Kuhlman, maybe you can talk a bit about how those conversations have happened.
Right. You know, I think in a way it has been a natural instinct on the part of parents in the past for a number of different reasons, but maybe partly because it is a complicated story, and they're hesitant to begin telling that story with very young children. I would certainly echo, though, everything that has just been said. It's been our experience, and it is the best wisdom of the adoption community now, that the sooner you begin to tell that story, the more that that story begins to be normalized. It actually functions, sometimes I describe it to people this way, it begins to function in the same way that any child is often offered tidbits about their own coming into the world. So I say to people, as just as naturally as you might say to a 3-year-old, I remember the thunderstorm that was going on the day that we brought you home from the hospital. There are little details like that can be offered to children that I think really allow them to begin to know a story in just little drops that way. And then I will say also, I think that kind of slow, gentle, ongoing conversation has to make room for growing understanding on the part of a child, which can involve both some positive emotions and also some experiences of loss. And there certainly are ways that older persons who are adopted sometimes will experience that loss only because they've come to a certain point of maturation and are able to understand those things in a new way. But I'll say that's certainly the way that we went about it. We there's actually an analog here to our children's relationship with various members of their birth families. When our children were 2 or 3, we didn't offer them any complicated explanation at all of who their birth mom was as she came through the door, any more than we offered a complicated explanation of who their grandmother was. You just introduced family members, and slowly, children put it together. Many people can probably remember the moment when they themselves or another child at maybe age 5 or 6 put together that grandma is actually, you know, the mother to their own mother or father.
Right.
It's such a funny insight for them.
Right.
Something like that is the way that our children began gradually to piece together
their own story
of themselves. You know, something we're all doing slowly.
Right. Well, we have about a minute left. If our listeners were to go online, where's a good place to start to learn about these issues?
I don't have a single website that I recommend. I would say this doesn't not very specific advice, but I would say just dive in. The one large organization is Adoptive Families. But dive in. But again, I would really advise people as they jump into Google universe that they also seek out those immediate connections with individual people and families. Look for those people, and I think you'll find that they'll be willing to talk.
Well, the article is Tied Together by Love, Adoption and the Christian Life by Holly Taylor Kuhlman, and it's in the April 13th issue of America, which you can check out at americamagazine.org. Professor Kuhlman, thank you so much for being with us and sharing your story. And Tim, thanks for sharing your story.
Well,
your family.
It was a good conversation. Thank you, Professor Kuhlman.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to hear the full show every week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.